blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 396, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 396.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 72. Psalm 72, but first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 72. A psalm for Solomon. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. And they shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended so far in the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outsorn, who has to be in the hospital this week Thursday. Also Dustin Grisnick, for whom there are continuing concerns. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who hast made it possible that we may gather together in this morning hour around Thy holy word and everlasting testimony, even against all that man would bring against it, and Thou bringest us up yet, and we may acknowledge Thee. For Thy long-suffering mercies over us and over our children, and that Thou still dealest not with us as we so justly deserve, not only to cut off our life and to cut off all the natural blessings of this world that we do not deserve, but also that Thou cuttest not off the opportunity to gather in Thy house on Thy day. But Lord, then it will be an opportunity that will not last forever. For Satan goes about in this world to devour and to seek to deceive. And so it will become even more and more, as we can read in Thy word, in the end of this world, so that we can only look forward with our children to a great tribulation. But we are to this moment still spared and given a freedom. And Lord, that Thou may give that in our hearts may be an urgent cry, that while it is still a day of opportunity, that we may also receive an undeserved blessing in this time, that we with our children might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, before also the means are cut off for us, and wherein it shall become impossible. But Lord, that Thou may look upon us when Thy word will go forth this day, give us the ability to bring it forth as Thy servant in this morning hour, to bring Thy word according to the meaning of Thy Holy Spirit. because it is not to be found in us that there can be fruit in the midst of the congregation, but that is found alone, O Lord, in Thee, then it is not in the orations of a man, but it is in the power of God. Then as Moses did bring unto Thee a rough stone, then the beauty was found in the finger of God. That may also be in our midst experience to be so, that in all that which man can only turn upside down, that Thou would bring Thy word with power in this day, that in the heart of those that are yet dead and traveling for their own account over this world, that the power of Thy Spirit may be experienced, that there may be new life given, that there may be hunger and thirst, that that blessed Mediator whom we are called to set before the poor and before sinners, that there may be room made for Him, that He may become precious in our eyes, that He may become more and more necessary in the life of Thy children, and that He may receive all the honor and all the glory. Lord, send therefore Thy Holy Spirit unto us and our children, and that He may break down all that is of man, and that He may bring man in the dust before Thee, that He may reveal unto man in his wretched state and condition a way of escape in the dear Son of God. O Lord, that He may become so unto each and every one of us also, that Thy children also may receive instruction, that Thy word may be quick and powerful unto each one of us. Remember all the afflicted and the poor, and all that have difficulties in mind, in body, in family, in their labors each day, wherein sin has brought its consequences, that Thou may look upon the children, one that must be brought into the hospital, once more to receive that which has taken place so many times already. Lord, bless it once again, and heal him further in his body. There wilt Thou supply also for the other young child in the continuing needs and cares of his body, and strengthen all the parents together, and bless these ways in mercy. And wilt Thou instruct us, because our bodies are weak and frail, and so Thou sayest that we will not be here forever, and that every ache and pain in our body may remind us that we have here no continuing city, that we might learn to seek one that is to come, not only when we are old, but also when we are young. Send forth Thy servants this day into Thy vineyard with power, with the accompaniment of Thy Holy Spirit, and where they are over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Lord, they are sent by Thee. They are given a charge, a command by Thee. And Thou knowest who that they are, because Thou Thyself hast called and sent them, that Thou may also put the stamp of Thy Spirit upon their labors, and that there may be fruit in Thy house over the length and the breadth of the whole world, among Jew and Gentile together, and that together we might learn to bow our knees, to worship the true and the living God, and that we might learn something of that blessed song, and that is the song of the redeemed, and that cannot be learned except by that 144,000 who are redeemed from the earth, in whom thy dear Son is so precious and necessary. Lord, look on us then in mercy. Help thou us in this morning hour. Open thy word unto us. Take away everything that can hinder to speak and to listen. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 193, all stanzas. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1-6 of Psalter 193. Congregation, the words of our text you can find in that portion of God's Word which we have read to you, Psalm 72, and thereof the sixth verse, Psalm 72, verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. So far, the words of our text. The coming of Christ likened to rain upon mown grass. First, in the need for Christ. Second, in the suitability of Christ. And third, in the sufficiency in Christ. The coming of Christ likened to rain upon the mown grass. First, in the need for Christ. Second, in the suitability of Christ. And third, in the sufficiency in Christ. Give the King thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the King's Son. That is a psalm that is written by David for his son Solomon. David is at the end of his life. And Solomon sits upon the throne, and David looks to his future, and David beseeches the Lord for his son. Do you do that also, parents? And David prophesies of a new time that is coming, because that will be a very different time. You know that, children, the time of David and the time of Solomon were very, very different. We would say they are opposite times. Why? Because the time of David was a time of much war. And the time of Solomon, that was going to be very different. That was going to be a time of peace. And therefore, Solomon, he is also going to be charged with the building of that house of the Lord. And now David beseeches the Lord that he will go with the Lord, that he will go with Solomon, that he will give Solomon wisdom, that he will give him judgment, that he may be able to do justice as a king. How very necessary. Solomon himself has written it, when the righteous are in authority, then the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, then the people mourn. And David now asks, but David does not only ask, but David also actually prophesies. He prophesies concerning a future kingdom and what that future kingdom is going to be like. He tells here of all the blessings that are going to come on the land, on the people, under his reign. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people, and he shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. And so we can read that it goes on. However, though he speaks about the reign of Solomon, there are clearly many things in this psalm that cannot be attributed to Solomon or to his reign. That is, to the reign of an earthly king. What do we read, for example? We read about the redemption of the souls of the needy. We read here about the endurance of his kingdom, that it is going to be a kingdom that is going to endure so long, it says, as the moon. Thus, though it speaks here about Solomon, then we see how that it is that Solomon is actually here a type, and that the kingdom that David is prophesying of is actually a much greater kingdom That is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Just as Solomon, he will be the root and the offspring of David. And his kingdom that is going to be characterized by peace and also by a very special wisdom. Thus Israel at this time, they are standing on the eve of the opening of a new administration of the kingdom in Israel. But as a spiritual type, looking unto the establishment of the kingdom of God in the coming of his only begotten Son. Thus David speaks here of the great glory of that king. And he speaks of the great glory of that kingdom, the blessings and the prosperity that are going to come because of this king. In his days shall the righteous flourish in the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. We read later, his name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Thus the great glory of the king and the great glory of this kingdom. However, how is it that this great glory is going to be attained? How is he actually going to receive this glory? And then there are two things that stand out very remarkably in this psalm. And one of those things is the king. And the second thing we hear over and over again about is the poor and the needy. Thus we see that there is a relation here between this king and those that are poor and needy. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. How many kings in this world and great men in places, in high places in this world, do visit the ghettos? They very often are visiting their friends and those that are also high in high places and authority in this world. They receive honor from them, but their place that is not so often with those that are poor. And thus David prophesies how that this king that is coming, he is going to receive glory, he is going to receive honor in a much different way than so many of the kings of this world do receive their glory. How is he going to receive this glory? He is going to receive this glory by justice and by judgment, by righteousness. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Thus, this is the glory, this is the honor that this king is going to begin to receive in this world, and that is the glory for which he is going to be honored to all eternity. But how then is this going to be seen? How is this going to be felt? How is this going to be experienced in the life of those that will come to honor him. And that we read in the words of our text, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass and showers that water the earth. Mown grass. What is that? You know what that is, children. That is grass that has been cut down. That is grass that has been sheared off. Grass that has been made short. Maybe by different means. Maybe that is sheared off by the cattle as they do eat the grass. Maybe that is sheared off by a mower when it is cut down by men. And then it seems perhaps as if that mowing of the grass that has a purpose of destroying that grass, to chop it down, to cut it down, that it may not be anymore. But that is not so. No, the mowing of that grass that is actually just for the opposite purpose. That is actually for its health. That is for its beauty. Mown grass. Thus we have here a picture. We have here a picture of the true church. How is it that the Lord is dealing with his children? Then he deals with them as the grass, and then he is cutting them off. No, that is not immediately when those little blades of grass are so new, then we do not cut that grass so very soon. No, then that grass is given time that it may grow first. But then there comes a time that the gardener, the farmer, the husbandman, that he is saying it is now time that grass will be cut down, that it will be mowed, that it will be cut off. That happens, congregation, then so unexpectedly. Then that grass, that people, they had thought that it would ever remain the same as when they were so tender, and that they may in themselves be allowed to grow. And so they had thought in this way to go from strength to strength unto Zion. And now all of a sudden it seems that the Lord comes against them as if the Lord is going to destroy them. So contrary to their desires, so contrary to their wishes, so contrary to all of their expectations. But indeed this is the way of the Lord. We read it how that the Lord says unto Jeremiah, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Thus the Lord has a purpose in it for the good of his own church. And we can see that throughout God's holy word. That when it is well, then the Lord is having dealings with his people. And how that the Lord is keeping his people short, and how necessary it is for them time and again for their own good. That Abram receives indeed an encouragement, that Abram receives indeed a promise from the Lord. But that Abram has to wait until he is 100 years old. That Jacob, we see time and time again, And we can understand in the life of that man when he becomes old that finally he has to say that all these things, they are not for me, no, but they are against me. That it seems on every side that the Lord, he cuts me off, that the Lord cuts me short. That it seems like the hand of the Lord that indeed that is gone out against me. Peter has to be cut down by the Lord. Paul has to carry with him, he says, a thorn in his flesh. And yet we must make a distinction. We must make a distinction between the outward mowings and the inward mowings, because we see how that was in the nation of Israel at the time of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord did send him as man into this world, how was that in Israel? Israel was subject unto the Romans. Then that nation was cut down, as it were, as mown grass. And they look for a savior. But what do they look for? They look for an outward deliverance, their national pride that was so hurt. And then an Edomite is upon the throne, but that was a people that in former years, they had flourished so that they themselves, they were sitting upon the throne, and not only over themselves as a people, but also even over the nations that were around about them. And thus their pride that is so hurt. And they desire again to be raised to that place that the Lord had given them in former times. But what did they not see? Oh, they did not see anything of their spiritual need. All that the Lord brought against them in an outward way has never humbled them in their soul. And this is now the reason that we read when the Lord Jesus came into the world that the children of Israel did not recognize their king. Because their need that was merely outward, and they did not see anything in that king. But when their need had been inward, oh, then they had recognized who that this king was. But now it must be said he came unto his own. But his own did not receive him. Thus, there are outward mowings, yes. But that is so different than the inward mowings. It is possible, congregation, that we are in our business, that we are completely cut down. It is possible that it seems like the hand of the Lord that is against us every way that we are turning. It is possible within our families. It is possible that amongst our children, and that it seems like the Lord is continually standing in our way, and that we are not able to go in that way that we desire. It can be. It can be. But it is possible that it is exactly the same as so many millions of persons that are in this world. We do not say that the Lord will not have outward dealings often with his own children, that these are often necessary for them. But when this is everything, when this is where it is remaining in our life, then it is possible that we are no different than all the heathen and all the Gentile and all the wicked that are in this world? But are there those that are not strangers of an inward mowing? Because all that is natural in the Word of God that is pointing to and is a picture of those things which are spiritual. And what did David say? He says, iniquities prevail against me. Or is that also the same in our own life? And when that grass that is being mowed down, and you will take a look at that grass very carefully, then you will see that it is weeping, that it is bleeding. Is that also so in our life? That when the Lord is coming against us, that we begin to weep, that we begin to bleed. Why? Because I have sinned against a good-doing God. Why? Because I have left my Maker. Because I have rebelled against Him. Because I have made that great separation between God and my soul. Oh, then does our heart weep? Though no man in this world may know it, are there those places in our secret chambers and that we need to lay our burden before the face of the Lord? Congregation, does the Lord also perhaps break down all our religion so that our heart bleeds not for the first time but also by renewal? Breaks down all our religion so that all we thought was good in the sight of the Lord becomes in our eyes, as it is in His eyes, our righteousnesses as filthy rags. Does the Lord, congregation, take the power out of all of your own past experiences so that you cannot find anything in them anymore? Does that justice of God come closer and closer and more into the foreground in your life? And He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, our text says. We see that further in our second thought in the suitability of Christ. And what is, congregation, more suitable? What is more suitable than to mown grass than, as what we read here, the showers from the heaven? He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. Thus, when that grass is mown, and that grass is now cut short, then what is more suitable to it than that there may be showers, that there may be some healing to those tender blades? Then there is such a place that is made in that grass for the rain that is coming down from heaven. And there is something that is so fitting in that mown grass for those showers. There is something so necessary in that rain for that grass that has been cut off. There is something so refreshing also in that rain for that mown grass, that that grass may grow again and that grass that it may be nourished up again. How is it when the rain falls on the grass that is not mown? How is it when the rain is falling on the grass that has grown taller and taller? And then the rain is coming, children, you know that. And then what is happening, it is making that grass to lay down flat upon the earth. So it is not able anymore to stand up even under its own weight. It lays flat, and that moisture that is staying there, and it is becoming infested, and it is beginning to rot, to die, to stink. Thus the Lord is saying something. And when he speaks not only of rain upon the grass, but the Lord is saying something when he speaks about rain that is falling upon the mown grass. And then he says there is in this a likeness unto his own son. Do you want to know? Do you want to know, congregation, if you know anything about the coming of that Son of God in your life? Do you wish to know if you have also experienced something of what it is for that Son of God to be revealed to your soul? Do you want to know this? Then you must ask yourself, if you have experienced what the Lord is saying in our text, then you must ask yourself if you have experienced in what you thought was from the Lord this blessed suitability. Because Christ, he is not the beginning, no, but Christ is the answer to something. Christ is the solution to something. And if he is not the solution, then we may be sure we do not know him as we ought to know him. Oh, to whom is he so very suitable? He is not so very suitable to those who have never been cut down, mowed down. He is not so very suitable to those who are permitted just to grow and to grow in their religion. Because to these congregation, he is nothing but a curse. When you will mix the rain of the gospel with such a people, then that whole thing that begins to send forth a stinking savor. No, the suitability is not there. But to whom is he suitable? He is suitable to that mown grass, and these are going to recognize him when he comes. How will they recognize him? Oh, they are going to recognize him by the suitability of himself to their own case. Oh, when the Lord will open, when the Lord will reveal himself to that people, then he becomes so suitable unto them, even as the physician, he is so suitable unto the sick, that faith that will go out to him, that faith will take refuge to him, and that faith that will hide itself in him, it will flee to him, it will find in him a resting place, seeing that he came for just such as they are. They are the workings of that true and saving faith. Oh, the Pharisees did not believe in him. They didn't recognize him. Why not? Because they were full of their own religion. Because they had not need. They looked for a Savior, yes, but they looked for a Savior that the Lord Jesus Christ was not. And he was not fitting unto them. Because he came not to them in worldly splendor and glory. But how was it with that man that was born blind? Oh, how different he was for that man. Old than he was to that man as rain upon the mown grass. That was a man. He thought it could never be different with him. What did he say? Oh, was that ever heard that a man gave sight unto one that was born blind? Oh, that was a man who thought forever, for sure, it is going to remain with me as it is today. But it is now that people that are cut off. It is unto this people that the Lord is saying before that they call, I will answer. And as they are speaking, I will hear. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. So it was when he came down from heaven. So it was when he came down in his incarnation. No, not for those who had an outward plight. Them he did not come to deliver. But it was so for every one of those who had an inward plight. Because for them he did come in order to take away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so it continues. It continues because he continues. He continues to do what? He continues to come down like rain upon the mown grass by his Spirit unto this day. Oh, may you ever see something of his beauty. May you ever see something of his preciousness. May you ever see something of his suitability. The Lord spoke to Joseph. He says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. Does that fit your case? Does that fit your case? For he shall save his people from their sins. That is, a people who are not able to save themselves from their own sins. Has that ever become a burden, congregation, that is too heavy for you to bear? Has that ever become a burden that you are not able to remove? Has that ever become a burden that you have desired to be delivered from? Is it not so then that this is a suitable, a fitting Savior for such an one? Did not John preach him as such when he said, behold the Lamb of God, which is come to take away the sins of the world? And is he not made so beautiful and precious and suitable to such a people? He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. Then that is so refreshing unto that grass. Or is there a people that may experience him in his refreshing when he takes over the sin of his church? When he has borne that sin upon that cross of Calvary? When he was wounded for our transgressions, when he was bruised for our iniquities, when the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed? Or is that then a refreshing to your soul? Or is there no place for this? What did he say unto that man that was sick of the palsy? He says, son, he says, be of good cheer. Good cheer. Why? Because thy sins are forgiven thee. He shall come down like rain, not upon the grass. No, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. What does Paul say? He says, for when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Is there such an one here? No, not a religious person, but an ungodly one. Then, congregation, there is hope. Then there is hope that there is someone here that may soon see something of the blessed suitability of the Son of God. What do we read in the Word of God? Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Are there such in our midst? No, not those who are so willing. Not those who see themselves as one that is a good person. Not those who see themselves as one that desires the same as God desires, and that is walking after him. No, but see something of the rebellion of his heart. Of his own fall. And feel something of the hopelessness because of that rebellion, because of that corruption. Is not this the people? The mown grass? And that are soon to see something of that blessed suitability of that Son of God? All then there is hope. Then there is hope that there will be a people who will experience something of what David is speaking of in our text. Then there is hope that there is a people that may soon see something of how suitable that Son of God is, and that they may experience that great refreshing. And that they may experience also something of this sufficiency that is in him. But this we consider after we sing 403. 403, we'll sing just 1 and 3. 1 and 3, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for his saints to tell his praise abroad. 1 and 3 of Psalter 403. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Those words, they speak about something else. As showers that water the earth. And what is it that those words portray? Those words portray abundance. As showers, that is copious rain or heavy showers, those drops very close together. Water, that is actually in the original to cause to drip, soaking, or to be saturated. As showers that water the earth. Congregation, in this psalm, David speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ as King. King of his church. And what does a king have? A king has access to many resources. Thus, all that people will need, they may go for unto the king. That is in a natural way. And that is a little picture here of the sufficiency. The sufficiency that is in God for his church. In a natural way, we know that it is so. He says, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, and that the disciples, they may deal out bread to the hungry multitude, and then there is no end, so that every mouth may be filled. But now when we may see for what reason that this world exists, and that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into this world, then how much greater is that wonder of those who may experience that spiritual sufficiency that is in him. We read in this psalm in a special way, we said, of the poor and the needy. They are those that know nothing of abundance. The poor and the needy, they are those who desire just if it may be a little crumb. Little crumb. And now, what does the Lord say that those people are going to experience? They are going to experience that they will receive something that they have never imagined. That they are going to receive something that actually they have never even thought of or asked after. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. There is something that is so large. There is something that is so formidable to that people. There is something that those people are not able to overpass. And what is that? That is a mountain of sin. Bunyan said it. It was a great burden upon his back. And it was a burden, a mountain of guilt and iniquity, which that people are not able to rid themselves of. What does David say? For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Do we know that place of David? And because of that sin, then they see also something else that is so formidable that they are not able to overpass, overcome. And what is that? That is the gulf. That is that separation between God and my soul. A great separation because of my sin. David says, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. He says, so that I cannot even look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, he says, my heart faileth me. Why? Why did his heart fail him? Because of the multitude of that iniquity, because of the greatness of the sin, of the inward corruption. His heart failed him. Why? He could not see how that it was possible that it would ever be overcome. Why? Because of the smallness of the views of grace. Oh, a person cannot see anything. They cannot see anything until it is revealed from above. Otherwise, it is all in his mind. But those to whom that grace in Christ is revealed, they see something. When the Lord comes as rain upon that mown grass, David experienced it in his life, otherwise he could not write of it. That when he shall come as rain upon that mown grass, then it shall not only be so suitable, but then it shall also be so sufficient. He said it shall be as showers that water the earth. What does Paul say? He says, where sin abounded, grace, he said, did much more abound. That is the sight of the people. That is that sight by faith. Grace that is compared here to something. That is compared here to something, not to something small. It says where sin abounded. Thus it is compared here to something that is so very, very large. A great mountain, a great gulf, an impassable gulf. And yet when that Son of God is revealed, then that is that grace in him that is seen to be even so, so much greater. That they see that that mountain of sin that is so swallowed up in him, then it is understandable that that people, that they are sinking away under the greatness of the mercy and the grace of God in his dear Son. David says, thou hast beset me behind and before. He says that is something that he cannot understand. He says it is too high for me. Too high. Then the human mind, the human mouth cannot express what they behold in that blood of Christ for a wretched and a miserable sinner. We sing it sometimes. His grace, His grace is wide as the ocean. And when you would go out there in the ocean on his ship, children, when you would go out there on his ship and you look to this side and to that side and you can see no land, then you may know how much water is upon the earth. And when you see that huge ocean, then you feel so, so very small. And now to have all that mountain of guilt plunged into that ocean, oh, then it is as it were nothing. Nothing. Then it is swallowed up and there it is drowned in that ocean, never to be seen anymore. Oh, His grace. His grace as wide as the ocean where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Do you understand? Oh, do you understand why the mouth of that people, why the mouth of that people at that time goes open? Do you understand why that people, they would say, "Minister, sit down. Then I want to speak. And I want to tell everyone something." All those who are not able to see that way, those for whom it is too great that sin is too great to be forgiven, those who are not able to deliver themselves from their own guilt, then I will tell them. I will tell them to seek on. I will tell them to continue on. I will tell them not to be discouraged. I will tell them still to pray. I will tell them to go yet upon their knees. Why? Because, when it pleases the Lord to come, when it pleases the Lord to look upon your soul, to speak unto your soul, then the whole heavens, they will go open. And then, then he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass. And then it will be as the liberal showers. And when they are watering the earth, then there is so much sufficiency in that blood. Oh, congregation, if there may only be a place, if there may be only a place amongst us, that the sufficiency of that blood that it may be bestowed upon someone. Is there here? Is there here some mown grass? Is there here someone who would magnify and glorify God if they may yet feel something of the greatness of His grace? Or is there here a fit object to bestow that grace upon? It was bestowed on Paul. He said he was before a blasphemer. He was before a persecutor. He was before injurious. And then he has experienced that grace of God, that was as showers that watered the earth. There was a thief. He could not rectify one thing. He could not make it good anymore. And the only thing he could say that was, "I deserve it. I deserve my punishment." Moan down with all his guilt. But the grace of God bestowed upon such a man. We read of a woman that she was a sinner. And that grace of God bestowed upon her. What did the Lord Jesus say? "Wherefore I say unto you, that her sins, which are many, are forgiven her." David says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity." Why? "For it is great." It is such ones. It is such ones who are given to see the blessed suitability of that Son of God. And it is such ones who will also experience the blessed sufficiency in one drop of that blood that he has shed upon that cursed tree. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, make place for him. Oh, make room for him, that there indeed may be an Advent people. Then it must be, Lord, that the knowledge of self may be taught us. Oh, that thy Spirit may come, and that we might learn who we are, that we may become fit objects for the bestowal of thy mercy and of thy grace. Oh, that we may become the objects of that grace, and that we might see the blessed suitability, and that we may glorify thee for the all-sufficiency of that which thou hast provided in him, who has taken away all the guilt and all the sin and all the pollution, to the justification, the sanctification, the redemption of thy people. Oh, look on us, Lord, in mercy, that these matters may not go by us this day, and that it may not be seed that falls to the earth, even only to be picked away by the birds of the air. But, Lord, send us home with a need upon our soul, and that it may be born in our inner chamber a cry to be heard on high. Look on us in the rest of this day. Bring us safely to our homes and with desire in thy house in this afternoon once again. Wilt thou help us in the administration of word and sacrament? Forgive all that was sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 426, 2, 3, and 9. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul. By grief and sorrow riven, I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2, 3, and 9 of 426. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.